Before the cross or the resurrection, before the creeds or the crusades, before there were Catholics or Protestants or Orthodox, before sacraments and paraments, before Bach's Mass in B minor and Michelangelo's Pieta, before the Hour of Power and the Left Behind series and the Jesus Seminar, before the Vatican and the Crystal Cathedral, and before Old South Church in Boston, before Christianity, there was a child sent from God who made your head turn, who caught the whole world's attention, a child for whom stars danced and angels sang, whose presence summoned Palestinian shepherds and Oriental dignitaries, a child who touched things deep and high and holy. Luke, the evangelist, our brother in Christ, physician Luke was, and artist, Luke makes it his life's work to write of this child, to build for this child a gospel, a strong and sturdy bark, a vessel bearing words and works, parables and miracles. A bark, a vessel able to ferry the child's story through the centuries and the millennia to us and beyond. But I want to warn you, truth in advertising here. If you are looking for objectivity from Luke, forget about it. It isn't there. In truth, Luke and his colleagues, they are smitten by this child, smitten by Jesus, whose compassion and tenderness are extended to all who are in need. Smitten by this child of God who reaches out in love and healing to the despised of his day, to Samaritan and to leper, and to those of low estate, to the widow and the orphan. So smitten are Luke and his colleagues that they come to believe, and to believe with a surety for which they are willing to bet their lives, that this child is heaven sent, that his tenderness and compassion are from God and of God. So smitten and persuaded are Luke and his fellow believers that as a movement, small, homegrown, scraggly, raggedy, but powerful with passion and conviction, they dare confront the common cruelties of their day. Luke and his colleagues, followers of Jesus, they stand up to face down and decry the practice of infanticide and the sport of gladiatorial contest, big business in the first century. So smitten and persuaded are they that they build services for the poor and frail, for widows and children, for the ill and for the broken. So smitten are they by the Prince of Peace that many of them refuse conscription to military service, refusing to conform to a way of life premised on the need for violence. Before Constantine and his sword, before St. Francis, before Opus Dei or the Salvation Army, before El Greco's resurrection or Newton's amazing grace, Before Jesus Christ Superstar and Godspell, before Billy Graham or Desmond Tutu or Dr. King, before Christianity, there was a child, an infant sent from God to soften our hearts and to quicken our pulse, a child in whose shining eyes God is reflected and whose very presence provokes in us and for us a crisis and a question. What crisis, what question, what decision? This. Who will this child be for you? But even more important, who will you be for this child who comes from God? This holy one for whom stars danced and angels sang, who will you be for this child? And while the crisis and decision comes to each and every one of us, so too does it come to us together. Church, the gathered body of Christ. We read the stories of Jesus aloud together and listen together in church, as church, because they are meant for us together as the gathered body of Christ in this time and in this place. So, Old South Church in Boston, we who are the church of John Hull and John Alden, of Phyllis Wheatley and Samuel Sewall, the church of William Dawes and Samuel Adams and the Boston Tea Party, the church which for more than three centuries has witnessed and weathered and sometimes engendered revolution and war, witch trials and freedom rides, depression and recession, hurricane and controversy. Oh, the past is good, good stuff. We owe it and we learn from it. But the crisis and the decision provoked by the child who was held up in Simeon's arm in the temple that day is about the future. Who will we be for this child in the year that begins today? Who will we be, Old South Church, for this child who comes from God? As the ice caps and the global economy are in catastrophic meltdown, as the gap between the rich and the secure and the poor and the insecure, the 99% and the 1%, becomes an ever-widening chasm of difference and indifference, who will we be for this one who comes from God? As the divides between Jew and Christian and Muslim grow deeper and ever more ominous, who will we be, Old South Church, for the one for whom stars danced and angels sang, this one who bridges North and South, Occident and Orient? So if you are a visitor among us today, you need to know this about us: that like Luke, we too have been smitten by the child Simeon lifts up in his arms. Don't look for objectivity from us. Like Luke, we too have fallen for this one by whom time is divided and smitten. Here is what we have answered from that question. Here is who we have pledged to be for this child this year and the next year and the year beyond. First, we have pledged as Old South Church in Boston that we will be for this child a sanctuary in this city. We have pledged to God and to each other that we will keep this house and home of God open 7 days a week, free to the public, a shelter and a refuge, a place of beauty and a house of prayer for all peoples, and a sign and a symbol that our God is big, so big. We have pledged to be a sanctuary in this city, a place and a people of both grit and grace, that here we will gather to hold the whole world of God on our hearts. And from here, we will together endeavor to exude the fragrances of compassion, healing, mercy, peace. That from this place and people will emanate kindliness and generosity. We have pledged that in this world that is so stubbornly tribal, separating north from south, rich from poor, educated from illiterate, black from white, immigrant from citizen, straight from gay, Muslim from Christian, Republican from Democrat, we refuse to acknowledge such boundaries and pledge to cross them and crisscross them as did Jesus in his day. Second, we have pledged that in this year that begins today and in the next year and the year after and the year after, we will be for this child a people in formation, Christians in formation. We have pledged to God and to each other that we refuse to be conformed to this world, to the practices of greed, elitism, tribalism. And that we, a diverse and vibrant congregation, a people alive to the living God, will come here again and again and again to be shaped by honest worship, to be formed ourselves for service, to become practiced in love and equipped for ministry. Third, we have pledged to God and to each other that we will take up this ministry in the 21st century at a church located at the crossroads. In part, we have said, ours is a ministry of place and circumstance. Located on a great square in a great city, we minister at the intersections of the South End and the Back Bay, Center City, and inner city, great affluence and greater need. As an historic leadership institution in Boston, we minister at the intersection between a long and compelling past and a wide open future. And as Jesus worked at those boundaries between male and female, Gentile and Jew, slave and free, rich and poor, so do we take up our work in the contested crossroads of our day. Amen? While the world succumbs to hatred, suspicions, violence, we are committed to learning the difficult and costly art of love. Amen? Sanctuary in the city, Christians in formation, faith at the crossroads. These are the three adventures of our vision for the 21st century, the vision we have spent a year discerning and listening for and claiming and into which we are growing. As Luke built his gospel, his bark, to ferry the story of Jesus into each new day, each new year, each new century, our vision is our bark, our vessel, by which we carry the story into each new day here. Before the Mormon Tabernacle Choir or African American spirituals, before Christmas trees or Easter eggs, before church organs or Sunday school, before infant baptism or believers' baptism, before the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, before the New Century Hymnal or the Book of Common Prayer, before any and all of this, there was a child sent from God who makes your head turn, who makes your pulse quicken, who provokes for us both crisis and